We have interviews, MMA banter, and betting advice. This week, UFC Nashville, Corey Sandhagen versus Rob Font. We're going to be breaking down three plays on the show like we always do. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about UFC 291. It was the biggest profiting night for clients of 2023. We picked up over 12 units of profit. And listen, I don't always like to come on here and celebrate and talk about past fights and talk about all these other things. I like to dive into the next week because we don't want to talk too much about the last week because there's too many UFC events, too much going on. But when we have big, big nights like we did at the last pay-per-view, UFC 290, 9 units of profit, we got to do our round of shots for our guys. And the first one here, let me tell you something. The first one here, before I get into it here, Tremana, this is the Rocks tequila. I'm normally a Casamigo guy. To be honest with you. But this was brought to my house, so we're going to drink it. So the first shot we're going to be doing real quickly here is got to be the 5% play that I did have, which was on Alex Pereira, 5%, gave it out to clients at plus 125, gets the job done, close fight, not going to lie, I'm not going to sit here and say anything else, close fight, got the job done, got us home, cashed us in on a 5-unit bomb at plus 125, so Alex Pereira, this one's for you, my man. The other one we're going to do, got to be, Terrence Crawford. Now, listen, I don't do boxing that much. I'm all about combat sports. I get involved in all of it. But I do branch out when I do find the right spot. We ended up taking Terrence Crawford, minus 146. Line went up. We jumped on that. So we're going to this one quickly little boxing one to Terrence Crawford, who got the job done for us there, as well as we did have another plus money parlay, Kevin Holland. I forget who the hell the other one was. You can check it out on wagertalk.com. Plus money there. We ended up cashing in on that one too. But this one here, this one is for Terrence Crawford. And the last one that we're going to be talking about, it's got to be the BMF champion. I've never loved the BMF title so much in my life. Justin Gaethje, plus 130, gets the job done. That brings us to 12 units of profit last weekend. Excited, great week. We got things to talk about this week, but let me down this one for the round of shots from UFC 290. Woo! All right, before we get into the three plays, I want to talk about our sponsor. Thank our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. If you want to become a client with them, work with them as well, too. Love their site, man. Love their site. If you want 100% match deposit up to $100, link down in the description. I'm going to also be giving out later in the week on my Twitter, at KyleAnthonyUFC. Another pick'em lineup, did hit 1 2 weeks ago, just missed on this one this week, but excited about it. And again, thank them for being a sponsor of the show. If you want to become a client at Wager Talk, I already got three plays lined up. A 4% best bet is already up there. That's also linked down in the description if you want to become a client as well. But listen, if you don't want to do any of that stuff, you can sit right here and we have three plays we're going to talk about here for UFC Nashville. First one here we're going to be talking about is the main event of the evening between Corey Sandhagen and Rob Font. So, listen, we all know this was supposed to be Corey Sandhagen versus Umar Nurmagomedov. Great fight, was one that everybody was terrified of fighting Umar. How great that he's looked. Just overall, it was going to be a fantastic stylistic matchup. So upset that that's just not happening. Falls apart. We get Rob Font. At least we get a main event. Now, when you talk about this fight here, first thing, Corey Sandhagen, well-rounded, great striker, has the tools on the ground, has the tools on the stand-up. On the other side there, you've got Rob Font, great boxer, good jab, does a lot of good things on the feet. Now, the issue here, and this is probably not telling something you don't know here, but the issue here for me is just going to be the limited skill set or limited arsenal of weapons, I should probably say, of Rob Font. Now, Rob Font, again, great boxing, slick jab. I love his jab. Maybe the best in the division. Guy has good footwork, can really put the combinations together very well, but he just doesn't throw many kicks, or he doesn't really look for many takedowns, or he doesn't really look to mix it up. And when you're going to fight these top level guys, you have to have everything. Now, again, I'm not knocking, you know, Rob Font by any means. I don't want this to come across as like, you know, I'm bashing the guy by any means, but he just boxes. He doesn't kick. He doesn't really mix it up very much. Where you're facing a guy like Corey Sandhagen, who has a fantastic skill set, fantastic arsenal of kicks, mixes it up very well. The stance switching, I also love what he does. He'll go from southpaw to orthodox, mixing it up in all different kinds of ways. And that really just disguises a lot of his shots, disguises a lot of his combinations. He mixes it up to the body. He'll throw some leg kicks, work the body a little bit, go to the head, maybe shoot a takedown, throw you off a little bit. That to me is a lot, really, for Rob Font to really take on here. Also, the fact that he's going to be the more explosive guy. I give Corey Sandhagen that. These jumping knees, these spinning attacks, all these things, mixing in these takedowns. And again, even if he doesn't get these takedowns, it's going to be good that he can mix it up, that he can give him different looks. And that's just going to more confuse Rob Font when you're looking at it. Also, the fact that Font is very, 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 you know, heavy on his feet, decent footwork. But when you're a boxer, and we've talked about this a lot in the show, when you're a boxer, you're going to dig deep. You're going to have your feet in. You're going to be looking to really utilize, you know, the base and fire off your combinations with your hands. And that always opens up some opportunities for hard leg kicks. They know that when these combinations are going, his feet are going to be very much planted. You know, when you mix it up a little bit harder to see. If you throw a, you know, 1-2 combination of kick, your feet aren't just sitting down planted. This is where Corey can kind of chop at the legs, work at the legs a little bit. He's going to have the better footwork. I think that he's going to be able to open up some of these shots and keep pushing forward. Corey's distance management also is fantastic. I mean, the guy is absolutely fantastic, working at range, mixing it up. This is a lot to take on for somebody who's more predominantly a boxer, who I don't really, you know, again, good boxing, but I don't really see where he has success. And the other side of this thing is the durability. You know, Font is not an easy guy to put away by any means. He's definitely not an easy guy to put away at all. But MMA mileage, definitely starting to get there at this point in his career, 36 years old, at this point in his career where you're looking at who he fought, how he fought them, and his two losses, he took tons of damage. He ended up fighting Jose Aldo, 5-round fight, didn't win a round there, got absolutely dominated. Same thing with Marlon Vera, was slapped around. He was rocked, wobbled, knocked down multiple times. Really just didn't look that good. Now, I think that's also why a lot of people coming into his next fight against Adrian Yanez, which was a fight I was at in Miami. And I did bet as a client play, I did give out Rob Font. But, you know, Rob Font plus 150. The reason I liked him against Yanez is mostly because the fact that, you know, he is going to be boxing. It's not going to be mixed up. Yanez is a guy who's going to predominantly look to throw hands. And when you're, if you're going to give a glorified boxing match to Rob Font, who's experienced, who, you know, Yanez is very green. Obviously, I think he is a fantastic talent, but very green when it comes to everything. And to me, it worked out perfectly for Font. Font went out there, clipped him, dropped him, finished him in that first round, I do believe. And this is a situation where it's not going to be the same. He's not going to have that luxury of just kind of boxing. He's really going to have to worry about a lot of different things. It's a terrible stylistic matchup for him. Also, really how Font has taken shots. I really feel that he's not taking shots very well. Also, his face is like falling apart when he goes out there and he fights. Between the two fights between Aldo and Vera, I mean, he was battered up. And then even against Yanez, he won the fight, but he was already battered up a little bit very quickly. I think Corey's going to land a lot of shots. Corey's really going to land early and often and start to really, you know, bang up Font, and I think that's going to hurt him. And again, you look at the other side of it. This is a short notice fight for Rob Font, so that's obviously going to be a big part of this. 36 years old in a lower weight class, never a good thing. You also add in the MMA damage that he has taken over his time. Also, the fact that this is a 5-round fight, he's coming in on short notice, and the limited skill set that he offers. So to me, there's so much going on against him in this spot. Obviously, I like Corey Sandhagen here. I think he goes out and gets the job done. I think he's a nice parlay piece also, but If you're looking to get a little plus money on this here, I do like Corey Sandhagen via points, plus 180. Rob Font has only been finished one time in his six losses. It was a submission victory, a submission loss, I should say. And I think that that's how it's going to play out. We saw guys like Veer. We saw guys like Aldo throw big-time shots, land big-time shots, and he was still able to get to the finish line there. I think that's kind of how it goes. Corey, not a big hitter here. I think he picks him apart over five rounds, gets that victory. So plus 180, and you're getting off the minus 315 number. I like it. I think Corey goes out there, gets the job done via points, plus 180. Now, the other fight we're going to talk about here is going to be Billy. Let me move this over here a little bit. Billy Quarantillo versus Damon Jackson. Now we've got Billy Q. He's going to be minus 184, roughly, kind of depending where you're shopping it. And the other side here, you've got Damon Jackson plus 142. So this is a fight here. We got two guys, action. They're going to look to move forward. But on the other side of both of these guys took a brutal knockout in their last fight. So it's interesting to see kind of how this plays out with two guys coming off knockouts. If you look at it here, Damon Jackson, four straight victories. He was looking pretty good going in against Dan Ige, gets knocked out. This was back in January of this year. But if you look at really what Billy Q happened, what happened with Billy Q is, you know, Billy Q alternating wins and losses back and forth. And he comes back into a fight against Edson Barboza, a fight that he was requesting. He was asking for a very long time. It seemed like a lot of people were, but he was asking for it. Goes out there and early, he's really pushing it. And that's really what Billy Q does. Get in your face, push forward, really smother you. That's what he was doing to Barboza early. It looked as if Barboza was kind of wilting a little bit there. Well, let me make sure my camera's right. He was wilting a little bit there, and then a jumping knee, perfectly timed in Edson Barboza fashion, gets that brutal knockout victory. But this was 3 months ago, roughly. And to me, that's a quick turnaround for Billy Q. He's a tough guy, Billy Q. I know that everyone on MMA Twitter loves this guy. He's a great personality, all these great things, but he took a brutal knockout only 3 months ago. I think that's a quick turnaround time for him. But the good things that Billy Q does, like we kind of touched on it, was weaponizing that cardio. He can push the pace. He can get in your face. He will have that volume. And that's the other part of this, the volume. Not only will he, you know, sometimes fighters who have this aggressive style who will get in your face, a lot of times they don't have the volume that will complete, you know, kind of back that up. Billy Q's got that. He will push that pace. He will get in your face. He will consistently do that, have that high volume. That's allowed him to find a lot of success where he's been able to weaponize that cardio. Now, the issue here for him really has been the situation where he doesn't really stop takedowns. He struggles with it. He doesn't do very well when it comes to takedown. These shots that he gets, he'll go on his back. He'll play in the guard. He does have some scrambling ability. And again, he's a BJJ guy. He's got ability there. He's got those credentials there. But he can be taken down. Now, that is the absolute path for Jackson in this fight, is going to be seeking that top control, getting that control, holding him there, keeping him there. And then if he gets up, do the same thing all over again. It's not, you know, Damon Jackson at times, yes, he can find these submissions. He's slick to getting the back, very, very good at getting the back as well too. So those are some things that he can start to do that may help him, because he will have that advantage. And I think he will have that wrestling advantage over Billy Q. But if this stays on the feet, you know, he can't get him down. I mean, Billy, I think the volume, you know, at times can be a little herky-jerky, sloppy, a little bit for Billy Q, but he has the combinations, the volume, the pressure to really melt some of these opponents. And I think that's really where it will open up opportunities, possibly for Damon, where Billy's going to be overthrowing some of these shots, or sometimes he throws too much and he's moving forward and he's not really being as calculated or as technical. That's where Damon is going to look to shoot. He's going to look to level change, and it may open up opportunities to get takedowns, bank some rounds, and I think that's going to help him here also. But if you look at it, the other thing here is, if you talk to anybody who hasn't really been paying attention to ages or anything like that, you would think Billy Q is like an up-and-comer, young guy. He seems like that. You know, he looks young, to be honest, also, too. You know, you wouldn't think that, you know, you would think Damon Jackson's going to be the older guy, you know, the veteran or the guy who's been around. They're both the same age, 34 years old, where, you know, Damon Jackson, again, has ability. So does Billy Q. But the alternating wins and losses, obviously against tougher opponents, but alternating wins and losses this is the show me spot here. You know, Billy can't wait too much longer. Also, you know, Damon Jackson, you know, this is a big spot for him as well too. But I think this is a situation where Billy is going to get smothered for at least two rounds. He's going to be fighting off these takedowns. It's not going to allow him to really work his volume, his cardio. I don't think there's going to be the opportunity for him to really go out and do that. I think it's going to mostly be Damon looking for takedowns, Damon looking for shots, looking for that control time, giving him the opportunity to get to bank the round or look for submission or get or backpack him and get to the back and kind of, you know, lock in the body lock and bank around. So I like the plus money here. I think this is a dog or pass spot. I think the line has gotten a little, you know, a little wide here. I think minus 185 range there. I think that's a little too much here. I think it's going to be closer than this line indicates here. I do like the plus money. The path is there. I like Damon Jackson plus 142. And the last one I'll quickly go over here is going to be Diego Lopez minus 172 and Gavin Tucker plus 134. Now, this is a fight here where, listen, this fight, there's two reasons why I think this fight, this line continues to climb. You know what I mean? And you're seeing Lopez getting the love. Money is coming in on him. And I think the first thing here is obviously going to be that Gavin Tucker has been out for about 2.5 years. That obviously is a big red flag. It's not people that I like to bet on very much where they're out for a long time. You know, you never know. There was situations where people were kind of talking about maybe there was a shoulder injury or there was suspect things kind of going on where it comes to an injury of some sort that he was healing. That's not good either at his age, at this point in his career. So that to me obviously is pushing this line. But the other part of it is how impressive Lopez looked against, who the hell was it? Evloev. Against Mosar Evloev, I thought that was impressive. Everybody, I believe, thinks impressive. Coming in, short notice, was a guy, he was way outgunned, was, you know, Evloev is just such a talent. And he goes out there and he grapples with this guy and looked incredible doing it. There was even multiple situations. It was looking to be where Lopez was going to get the finish. He had him in bad spots. I mean, really impressive. And I do understand that part of it, but it, you know, that to me can say a lot. Or was it just that Evloev, you know, was not prepared for him and didn't understand certain things that he was going to do? So it could go kind of either way. But Lopez looked great going out there, and he ended up really being competitive against a tough guy. But you've got on the other side here, Gavin Tucker, 13-2 in his career. Now, the issue for me now also with him is not only the fact that he's been out for 2.5 years, but what he has done since entering the UFC. I mean, he entered the UFC back in 2017. He's had 6 fights. Now, again, I know he's been out for a while, but there were years where he could be doing 2-3 fights a year, really pushing, really going out there and trying to just climb up the ladder. Now he's 36, 37 years old. You've got Diego, who's 28. That's always not good either, where these large age gaps really highly favor the younger guy coming out and getting his hand raised. But to me, that could question some motivation. That questions certain things on a guy that just really has not been that competitive. And I you know, again, that leaves things open. And then he's been out for 2.5 years and not being active when he had the opportunity and younger in the cage to be active. I think that says a lot there too. But the one thing here for Gavin is going to be the fact that he does have a path. I mean, he does actually have a path. It's going to be the wrestling. It's going to be the control time. It's going to be, you know, utilizing that. And that's something that Lopez has struggled with, you know, and maybe we can say struggled with or doesn't mind being on the mat. But if he gets taken down, he will be taken down and he will play in the guard. Now that could work 2 different ways. I mean, you know, for one, it could be, you know, if he's got him on the ground, he's kind of looking for, you know, the submissions. You're in a world where Lopez likes to be. He's going to submission hunt. He's going to be active off of his back. He's going to look for sweeps. He's going to do all kinds of things to reverse the position, get dominant control. That also has costed him in certain fights where he can't get out of it, where he's taken down by a guy who does have good top control, and he just is submission hunting, and all of a sudden the round's over and he's lost the round. So that could be a situation where you could see Gavin finding that success, just consistently trying to keep that top control, smothering him, making it ugly, and keeping on top. That could work out well for him, but again, it has costed Lopez in certain spots, so it may not be a situation where he wants to be overall. But the situation, when you're looking at this fight, how it could play out, you know, this is a spot where, you know, Gavin, he's a Gracie guy. You know, he has ability. Lopez, high-level grappling. I think this fight goes the distance. I think it gets a little bit further. I think both of these guys are going to be competitive. I think it's going to be a little bit closer, this line indicates, in certain spots. But I think the fact that Gavin, you know, if he gets taken down or if it is on the ground, I think he can survive and do enough. But even if it stays on the feet, I do like that what Lopez offers. You know, he does have some decent striking. Both of them, I think, are decent striking, at least from the last that we have seen Gavin. But also this six-inch reach advantage for Lopez, I think, helps him also, too. So if they're at distance, he's going to pepper out the jab. He's going to work combinations. He's going to start picking things up a little bit. I think anywhere this fight goes, he can have this edge. Plus, again, you've got a guy with ring rust here who may be a little more tentative, who may be looking to kind of not get through the fight, but maybe not be as aggressive as he was in certain spots, maybe in his past where he was, you know, knocked out not long ago or the last time he was in the cage. So I think this is a spot where Diego Lopez can go out there, get the job done. Minus 172, starting to get a little bit up there. I don't really like that number as much. If you got it, you know, minus 140 or anything like that, minus 130, things like that down there, I think it makes a little bit more sense. But starting to climb up there. So for me in this spot, I'm always looking for plus money. You know me, I'm the plus money hunter. I'm looking for plus money. And this is a spot where I do like Diego Lopez, but I think he goes out there and wins via points plus 350. If you look at it, I believe let me see if I can find it here. I don't even believe Gavin's been submitted ever. I think that was, yeah. Gavin's never been submitted. I mean, Gavin's never been submitted. He's a tough guy. I think this is a spot where it's just going to be grappling, rolling. You're going to see a little bit more dominating positions from Lopez. So a guy that's ever been finished, and you've got a guy who can go out there, pepper out the jab, longer reach, has some grappling credentials as well. I like Diego Lopez to get the job done via points plus 350. So there you have it for UFC Nashville. Excited again. Listen, we got fights over fights over fights. I don't care if it's a high level card, low level card, a medium level card. We are looking to put our money every week in strong positions in the UFC, and we consistently do that over the years that have passed. But listen, one more. This is the end of the happy hour. We're coming off the biggest week of 2023. So excited about it. If you want to become a client, link down in the description. Got three plays. All of them are plus money right now. You know me. You know me. I don't stop. There we go. You know me. I don't stop. Let's go here. Excited about it. And let's see how we do. Looking forward to this weekend. And let's cash.